Let's talk about, again, some of the research advances that are impacting patients being treated with metastatic disease. And certainly one that there's a lot of discussion about is the use of bevacizumab or Avastin, which we've been using now for a while in colon cancer, and now we're starting to use it in lung and breast cancer. What do you say to patients who are about to begin Avastin?
We are using Avastin, and we are seeing benefits to patients that have locally advanced disease and metastatic disease in extending their time and having that time be, I think, fairly good quality of life. It also is a drug that seems to be a bit easier for patients to tolerate than some of the more traditional chemotherapy agents as well. It's important to educate the patient what it is because it's getting confused, particularly on the internet, is getting confused with Avista because they sound a little similar, Avastin and Avista. So some people are thinking it's a hormone therapy. And, of course, that's not its mission in taking it.
One of the unusual things about bevacizumab or Avastin is that some patients develop hypertension. What's been your experience with that?
I'd have to say we haven't seen a lot of incidence of hypertension among patients that I'm thinking about the patients that are currently on it that I personally know. I mean, patients are closely monitored during any of these therapy regimens, but I haven't seen that be a major issue.
One of the things also about Avastin is that right now, and this happens a lot of times with clinical research, and you know, when the trials are still going on, what's been seen with metastatic breast cancer has been a prolongation of progression-free survival at this point without clearly being able to demonstrate whether it's going to affect survival in metastatic disease. Obviously, hopefully, if the patient has symptoms, they're going to get better also while the response is occurring. How much of an advantage is it to be able to continue with a therapy without having to switch, in other words, to extend the progression-free survival from a quality of life point of view?
I think that's very important for the patient, and a patient gets comfortable with the drug. I think the same thing happens with Herceptin. There are patients that, you know, have said, I know I'm to be on it a year. I don't want to ever come off of it because I think it's keeping me well. So they feel comfortable with it. The same with Avastin. If they feel comfortable with it, then they want to stay on it for as long as they can. I have a pet peeve that I know in a lot of medical literature, and I've heard this said by physicians in many settings, because I do a lot of traveling and visit other breast centers to do presentations. When I hear a physician say, the patient failed hormonal therapy, or the patient failed Avastin, and it's like, the patient didn't fail, it failed her, and that we really have to be careful in how we phrase that, particularly if you're saying it to the patient of, well, you failed hormonal therapy, as if she had some control over this. The only way she had control is if she didn't take it. But otherwise, if she's been a compliant patient, saying that she failed a certain drug regimen, we got to turn those words around, that it failed her or that it didn't reap the benefit that we had hoped that it would. So let's move on to another treatment regimen, see if this one will be better.